just sent this one to me. Well, as we read earlier, that passage in Philippians, and I know that you've started looking at it, and it's titled that Imitation of Christ's Humility. And so that's what I want us to think about. I want us to look at exactly what Paul is asking the Philippian church to look at here. And particularly, our focus is going to be on verses 5, 6, 7 and 8. We're going to be looking at the mindset of Christ. And so that's what I want us to think about tonight, about the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you've ever thought about what your mindset is or what a mindset is. The definition that I've sort of come across is that it's a set of beliefs that shape how you make sense of the world and yourself. And your mindset then influences how you think, feel and behave in any given situation. And I don't know whether you've ever sort of stopped to think about actually what's influenced or shaped your mindset and how that affects how you deal with things and how you think about things as they happen around you. But as Christians, we're meant to be imitators of Christ. We're meant to be little Christians, little Christs, rather. So how are we meant to understand the mindset of Christ? We have a rather trite saying that if you want to understand somebody, walk a mile in their shoes. But if you or I try and do that, we bring our own thoughts, our own mindset, our own preconceptions, our own ideas into that walk. And so it's very difficult for us actually to put our ideas into what Christ's mindset actually is. But Paul pulls out a very clear set of ideas as to what the mindset of Christ is. And so we're going to go on and look at that. And we always have things that impact our mindset, don't we? I don't know if any of you have ever had any dealings with royalty on a regular basis. But those people that do, those people that work for the royals or work around the royals, there's an influence on their lives. They comport themselves, they do things differently, they behave differently. If they work for the royals or they do business with them, then they use the crest to say, hey look, I'm worthy of their recognition. I work for them, I supply things for them, they will perhaps give talks. And if they work for the Duchy of Cornwall, they'll use the Duchy of Cornwall logo because it brings them influence, it brings them prestige, it adds credibility to what they're saying. And so we use influence, we use mindset in that way. So we use the influences around us. And that should be the same for us as Christians. As we already know in the previous sections here in Philippians, and in these early verses in Philippians chapter 2, Christ should have an influence on you and me, rather like the effect of royalty on those that work with them. Christ Jesus should have an effect on you and me. If we are with him, if we talk with him, if we communicate with him, if we learn about him, if we love him, he should have an influence on us. He should affect our lives. And we learn in this earlier part of chapter 2 that we are meant to be united with Christ. We're meant to be of one spirit with Christ. And that should change us. That should change how we behave. That should change how we think. Paul has highlighted earlier on that he's torn between the desire to be with Christ or the necessity of staying on earth, recognising that his chains are both being used for the furtherance of recognising that his chains being used for the furtherance of the gospel. So the effect of Christ on his life is such that he knows he should be here still because there's more gospel work for him to do. So he encourages the Philippians to live for Christ, and particularly that they would live a life worthy of Christ himself, regardless of the trials that they face, regardless of the difficulties that surround them. And then as Paul is encouraging them to do this, he's led them on to see that the life that Christ lived was selfless and was humble. And that's the life that they should live, that the church in Philippi should be living. And it's the life that the church here in Banbury should be living. It's a life that should be humble and selfless. And he points all to them clearly that it's this mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one they should be following. That's the one that they should be seeking after. And that's what I want to explore this evening. And we're going to look at it as Jesus Christ and his Godhead. That's where it begins, as we're reminded that he was in very nature God. And we're going to look at the fact that he laid aside this Godhead and came to us in his humanity. We're going to look at what that cost, the difference between the King of Kings and a baby laid in a manger. And then we're finally going to put the two together and say why. Why did he leave his Godhead? Why did he come to us in humanity? And why? Why did he still come, knowing all that it was going to cost him? You see, as we're told right here in verse 6, let this mind be in you. The whole point of this is that Paul wants to pull out that this mindset should be yours. It should be mine. But Jesus, who came in very nature God, he was God, but he came. He did not consider equality with God something that should be used. But he was God. So let's stop and consider for a moment what that means. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he was himself God. He spoke and this world was created. The Lord Jesus Christ himself brought into being everything in this universe. And he did so and everything was perfect. That is the power that he has. He is the creator God. But he's more than that. He's the sustainer as well. His power continues today. And we're told that in Colossians, that you and me were able to sit or stand here and not collapse because he sustains every single atom, every single fibre and part of your being. That is the God that we adore. The one who holds your breath in his hand. The one who holds the chair together that you sit on. Because if for one moment he allowed the order of this universe to be undone, then you or I would be in a total mess and this world would be in even more chaos. Oh, he was true royalty. He was King of Kings. He was Lord of Lords. And because the Lord Jesus Christ was God, all-powerful, he was everywhere. He is everywhere. He's present in this room, brothers and sisters. He knows what we're saying. He knows what we're thinking. He's all-knowing. Oh, what sort of God would we serve if he didn't know, if he wasn't aware, if he couldn't create out of nothing, if he couldn't hear your prayers, if he couldn't hear your cries, if he couldn't see your tears? This is the God who knows and does everything. And Jesus Christ, he was in very nature God. This was what he knew. And he was holy. Not a single sin. Even in his sight. Not a single sin. Because he was holy. He was in very nature God. And yet, what did he do? What did he do with his power? What did he do with his creative ability? What did he do with the fact that he sustained you and me? What does he do with the fact that he was all powerful and that he was King of Kings? He laid it all aside. And he came in humanity. He came to be born of a virgin and lie in a manger as a baby. He laid aside all that power. Now, if you or I were given superpowers, it's that fun question, what one superpower would you like? We would use it. There's no point having a superpower unless you use it. There's no point being invisible unless you can just disappear when you want to. So that's the reality, isn't it? If you had a superpower, you'd use it. But Jesus Christ, he had all the superpowers. He was the true superhero, if you want to go that far. He was more than that. He was God himself, and he could do everything. But he laid it all to one side. He didn't use it to his own advantage, as we're told in verse 6. He didn't seek to use it for his own ends. He laid it all aside. The Lord of all creation is seen as a helpless baby, like you and I once were, in a feeding trough. The Lord of all creation, the one who made you and me, the one who made this whole world, he laid all his power to one side to become a helpless babe in the arms of his mother Mary. That's what Paul is saying. That is the humility of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that he left to one side true royalty. He left to one side the crown, the jewels, the kingdom to rule. None of that. He didn't have that, any of that, when he came from heaven to earth. He didn't come. He was offered it by Satan, and he rejected it all. No. He even did the manual work of a carpenter. Those hands that flung the stars into space. They were there, sawing wood, chopping it up, nailing it together, making a table. He who could speak worlds into existence was a carpenter. He understood what it meant to hit his own thumb. He understood what it meant to get cuts and scrapes and bruises. In heaven, he was worshipped and adored. Angels were at his command. Beautiful angels. Things that we've yet to see, brothers and sisters. The beauty and the wonder and the glory of heaven. He left it all to live amongst dirt, to live amongst the thief, the filth of this world. And he didn't even have anywhere to lay his head. That's what he left when he came in his humanity. And even when he needed angels. You know, when we, if we had the opportunity to call out to angels, we would have done so. He didn't. He refused to call 12 legions of angels. That he could have done if he wanted to. But he did not use it to his own advantage. He didn't use these mighty legions of angels that were there at his command and ready to fly and do his bidding. He left that power all to one side and became a man to struggle through life like you and I do. And the nature that he took is this man. He didn't come as a mighty king. He didn't come as one who ruled a kingdom with power and with an iron scepter. Rather, he came in the nature of a servant, washing the filthy feet of his own disciples, taking the lowest place, even there amongst his friends. Almighty God, who his angels sent at his bidding. Almighty God, who spoke the world into existence, washing the feet of his disciples. In every situation, we can actually identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in every situation that you face, he can identify with you. In the situation that you're in that difficult thing that really rips you apart, that you can't get your head around, that you can't make sense of, he knows and he understands. His humanity is such that the difficult situation that you face, he knows and he understands it. He knows and he understands the difficulties that families present. His own family rejected him and pushed him out. He understands the pain and the difficulty that perhaps you and I have to go through. He's not ignorant of it. Because he left aside all his power that could have sorted everything out in a flash, so that it wasn't used to his own advantage. So that when you go to him with the problems that you're facing, when you go to him with the problems that you have, he understands. He left aside all of it. But you know what? We face temptations and we fall. And that's the big difference. He faced temptations, but he didn't fall. He might have hit his thumb, but he didn't scream out an expletive. He might have been tempted to look at a woman with lust, but he didn't succumb. He might have been tempted, he was tempted, to eat rather than fast. He was tempted to have a kingdom for his own, and he rejected it all. Because he lived the life that you and I can only dream of. Why? Why did he lay aside all the wonder of the Godhead? Why did he lay aside everything that he had the opportunity to use for himself? Why did he do all that? He didn't come, he wasn't given palace and jewels. The wise men, they went looking for him. In a palace, because that's where kings are born. But not this king. In a borrowed feeding trough. In a borrowed manger. There was no crown. There was no thrones. There were no robes of royalty. Not with the Saviour when he came. Why? Why did he leave that all behind? He could have done anything. Oh, he left heaven's glories. Brothers and sisters, friends, he left heaven's glories to fulfill his Father's plan. He left heaven's glories to fulfill his Father's plan of salvation. That means he redeems you and me. It means that he can come and take the place of ruined rebel sinners. That you and I might know that he came just for you and for me. That he understands the situation that you're in. He understands the path that you've walked. He understands the life that you've lived. And he came for you. He still came, regardless of the cost. He knew what he was going to come and have to suffer. He came as a servant to his Father. And he came obedient to death. We've sung of it in all of our hymns today. We've sung of his obedience this evening unto death. We've sung of what he came to do. Because he knew when he laid aside all that power. Oh, he knew the cost. He knew that as he came, he knew that sin must be punished. And he knew that he must bear the punishment for that sin. But it wasn't his sin. He knew that God was holy. He himself was holy. They can't have sin in their presence. And yet, for you and for me, that we might be in his presence, he came as that man, our sacrifice. That's why he laid aside all heaven's wonders, all heaven's glories, that he might be our sacrifice, that he should die the death that should bring you, that should bring me, that death that should belong to you and belong to me, that he might bring you and I to his Father. That death that rightly belongs to us for our sins. That the sin that keeps us out of heaven, that sin that keeps us out of his Father's glory. He died a death so that he could bring us into his Father's glory, that he could take us with him. That we might enjoy all those glories, all those wonders, all the beauty of heaven. That's why he did it. That's why he laid aside his power and his might. For the hope of heaven that you and I have. The hope of glory for you and for me. See, he bore our sin and he bore our grief. He knew, he knows what you are going through. So that we might have a hope of heaven. That we might know for sure that our sins are forgiven and that our future is sure and certain in him. Because if it was based on me, it would fall apart because my sin would absent me from God. But not him. Not the pure and perfect Son of God who laid aside his Godhead that he might take my place. That he might take your place. Oh, all of the pain that he was due to suffer. It was all outweighed by the delight and the wonder and the joy of bringing you and me to his Father in eternity. We're told in Hebrews that with joy he went to the cross, knowing what he had to suffer. Ah, yes, it was for you. It was for me. It was that you might have this joy in eternity. And this is why he came. And so, as we wrap up, what was this mindset of Christ? It was a mindset that said, I'm not going to use this power for myself. I'm not going to use all the gifts that I have as God, all the wonder and all the beauty that I rightly have as God. But rather, for the sake of those that I love, I will lay it all to one side. And then more than that, I will not just lay it to one side, but I'll become the lowest of the low, despised, forsaken. No family there, no friends at the end, no one to take his place, no substitute for him on the cross. Rather, it was the nails that held your sins and my sins. Those nails that held him there. He laid aside the wonder and the glories. He humbled himself and came as a man. That wasn't enough. He humbled himself more and became your substitute, became my substitute. That death on a cross. And so Paul is encouraging us to have this mindset. If as yet you do not know for certain that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for you on the cross, then let me tell you now, go to him tonight with all your sins, with all your cares, with all your woes. Because he came willingly to die for them. Come to him and allow him to take you, take your burdens, take your pain, take your care. Because that is what he came to do. That was the sole purpose of his coming. Take them and put them all there. And allow him to deal with the mess and all the situation that comes with it. But for those of us who are believers, we should have the same mindset as the Lord Jesus Christ. That we consider others of more worth than ourselves. Because that's the reality. That he considered you of such worth that he humbled himself and went to death on the cross in your place. That Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb, he left heaven's glories and came to earth and then humbled himself to that death on the cross. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that you consider others, that we consider each other of more worth than ourselves. What a transformation that would bring in our lives, in our churches, if every single one of us had this mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask him to help us. Oh, almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you that you left heaven's glories. You left the wonders of eternity to become a man and die on a cross for us. But, oh Lord, we struggle. We struggle to put others before ourselves. We struggle to think less of ourselves and more highly of others. And, O Lord, we pray that tonight you would help us. Help us, O Lord, to consider you, consider all that you've done, and love others the way that you love us. O Lord, we pray that you would forgive the times we don't, and help us, O Lord, to become more and more like you. We ask this in your worthy name, that you might have all the glory for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, our final hymn tonight is one that I'm sure we all know. It's one that usually gets an outing at Christmas time, and it's almost there. But thou who wast rich beyond all splendour. Let's consider these words as we sing this hymn.
Beyond all splendor, all for our sake he came as born. And for a manger did surrender, sapphire baked horse for sable gold. Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for thou who art God beyond all praising, all for our sake became as man, stooping to look at sinners praising, hemmed by thy eternal plan. Thou who art God beyond
and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.